Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come here this morning and hear from you. And so, Lord, as we set our ears and our hearts on you this morning, Father, may your Holy Spirit speak. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide us through your word this morning. We thank you for the privilege of meeting together this morning as a family. So we commit to you our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm really excited about today. And so, today we're continuing on in our Go series. Okay. And so we're looking into the journey of going. Okay. Of the going. And so the title of my message today is Trusting God in the Going. Trusting God in the Going. And so up to this point, what have we done? We've prayed, we've learned about prayer, we've learned about making plans, we've even made some plans, right? We looked at some spiritual plans, some physical plans, some career or, knowledge plans, some those sort of stuff in those sort of areas. And we've written down our plans, right? We heard about from Habakkuk about writing down the vision so that he who reads it will be able to run with it. And we've also looked at, how to understand our plans, right? Looking at the end goal and then working our way back. And so now we are in the process of going. But sometimes even in the going, we can doubt, right? We can get scared. We can even look back and ask ourselves, hey, is this the right path? Am I going the right way? Is this what God has called me to do? These are some of the real thoughts, some of the real stuff that we go through in our minds, in our head, that we battle through, right? Are we on the right path? And those sort of thoughts sort of come when we're going towards something or anything of significance. I remember back in Wellington, this was a long time ago. Okay, so I trialed for the Hutt Valley under 20s basketball squad. And so, it's like a regional team. And I went to two of the training sessions. And man, I felt so out of place in there. It's like I was firstly one of the smallest guys there, and everyone else was so good. And, a couple of weeks later, they had the tournament, and I didn't bother going because I thought, nah, man, I didn't make that team. But it was funny, like a couple of my mates, I worked a part-time job, and a couple of my mates came through on a Saturday morning and said, hey, why didn't you come to the tournament? Why aren't you at the games? I said, well, I didn't make it, man. I didn't make the team. And they said, but your name's on the roster, man. Why didn't you come? I said, well, it would have been nice if someone told me. But I was like, I had already told myself that I wasn't good enough. I'd already told myself that, nah, those guys are too good. That's not me. Have there been seasons in your own life where you had done all the hard work, where you had planned, you had prepared yourself, and you were on your way, and then doubt crept in? Doubt crept in, and it caused you to change your mind. It caused you to stop and think about what you're doing. That can be a pretty discouraging place to be in. But we don't need to stay in those places. If we think about people from the Bible that made plans and took action under God's guidance, and they began to go. They began to go in the direction that God had purposed and planned for them. Who are the people that come to mind for you? Who would you think of from the Bible? Does David come to mind? David, this young shepherd boy, he decides to face the giant Goliath, right? Goliath is there. He's making fun of the army of Israel. And here's this young teenage kid. The whole army of Israel, they're like, oh my gosh. Look at that giant. Look at him. Look how big he is. Look at his armor. Look at the sword that he's carrying. But David's looking at him. Why are you talking like that about my God? Why are you talking like that about us? He had a different perspective than this so-called army. David trusted God. And so he makes a plan. He makes a plan to confront Goliath with just a sling and some stones. So God guides his actions. And we know that David conquers Goliath, right? He literally cuts off his head. But that demonstrates God's awesome power through the faith and the trust of this young teenager, David. Who else comes to mind for you? Maybe Joseph comes to mind. Or maybe Moses. What about Nehemiah? There's so many people in the Bible that we could look at their journey and you know, we could look at their going towards what God had called them to and see how they responded in those situations. So in our reading today, we hear the story of Abraham when God called him. And so Abraham is living in Haran in Mesopotamia along with his wife Sarai and nephew Lot. And so Mesopotamia is often referred to as the land between the rivers, okay? So you see it there on the map. And so that the land between the rivers is talking about the Euphrates River, which is the one running along where you see where those black arrows are. That's the Euphrates River. And the one that's parallel to it is more inline. That's the Tigris River, okay? So these are areas that where in the Middle East cover areas of like Kuwait, Syria, and Turkey. And so at the age of 75, God speaks to Abraham. And he tells him, leave this land. Leave the land of your relatives. Leave the land of your fathers. And go to a place where I will show you. You know, if you think about in Abraham's times, to leave your homeland, to leave your family was a massive decision. It was a huge decision. Because depending on how far you'll be going, depending on where you're moving to, you may never see your family again. There's huge implications of it, right? You're leaving the comforts of your families, your relationships, and the familiarity that you've been brought up in, right? It's nothing like the times that we live in now. Now, man, thank God for the internet, right? We can still call people anytime, anywhere, any place, right? We can still make those calls. We have planes, trains, and automobiles to be able to take us to places in a matter of moments. But Abraham is told in verse 1 to go. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go. Everyone say, go. From your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. You know, the Hebrew word for go that's used there is this word halak. Halak. And it means to go, to come, to walk. And so this is the same Hebrew word that is used in when Moses is called by God to go to Pharaoh. Right? In Exodus 3:10 it says, come. Right, this is God speaking. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. It's the same word there. And just as God is calling people like Abraham and Moses and even Esther, so we shouldn't be surprised to see this in the New Testament as well. The same sense of calling, the same sense of going, right? And so we see this in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And then we see it in Paul's journey in Acts 22. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Each of these passages, they illustrate instances where God calls individuals. He calls individuals to go on specific missions, to go on specific journeys, to go and do specific tasks as part of his divine plan and purposes. We You know, we too have been called to go. Each and every one of us have been called to go as well. To go into our communities. To go and be the salt and light in our workplaces. To be the people of influence. To be God's representatives in those spaces that God takes us to. And so the question for us is then, are we going to where God has called us to go? Are we going to those places that God has called us to go? Are we trusting God in the going? Then in verse 2 of our reading today, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When I was reading this, I was going, wow, that's awesome. Then I thought, oh, here's a revised interpretation, okay? This is Henry's interpretation, okay? Abraham, listen up. Step into your calling. Step into this journey that I am going to take you through. Your family is going to grow into ridiculous numbers. It'll be like trying to count the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the beach. You won't be able to do it. And get this, it's not just about one city or one state or one country. Your family is going to be a blessing all over the world. So wherever you go, know this. Know this, Abraham, I got your back. Wherever you go, I got big plans for you and your family. Spreading the goodness and blessings everywhere that you go. Who would love that sort of blessing spoken over them? Guess what? This promise has been spoken over us. We are recipients of this blessing because we're children of the Most High God. Romans tells us that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts, then we will be saved. And so we enter into this blessing that was given to Abraham and all his descendants. Through Christ Jesus, we get to walk in this blessing. So know this, that you are blessed to be a blessing. Each and every one of us. In verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, at the time the Canaanites were in the land. And so we're seeing here what and who Abraham is taking on his journey. So in Abraham's going, he takes several things, but I'm going to summarize these things in two words, okay? Relationships and resources. This is what Abraham takes with him. He takes relationships and resources. Okay, so if we look at relationships, right? Abraham and Sarai, they formed the foundational unit for the future nation that God had promised. God was going to do it through them too. Start it with them. And so their relationship set the stage for the generations to come, right? It was through them. But then you also have this relationship with his nephew, Lot. So where does Lot come from and how did he come to be with them? In Genesis 11:27, we're introduced to Terah. And Terah is Abraham's father. And so Abraham's brother is this guy named Haran. And Haran is the father of Lot. So at this time, they're all living in this place called Ur of the Chaldeans. And then in verse 31, it says that Terah took his son Abraham and his wife Sarai and his grandson Lot, and they went to Canaan. But when they got to Haran, they ended up settling there instead. And Tarad dies there at the age of 205 years old. Who wants to live to 205? We better change our diet. So this is where Abraham, Sarai, and Lot were when God gave this calling. They were in Haran. They were on their way. They were on their way to Canaan. And so how does having godly relationships, how does having godly relationships help us in our going? Here are a couple of things that I want to share. Okay? Having authentic relationships. Authentic relationships can serve as a genuine witness to others at the transformation of our life because of the power of God, because of faith. When people see firsthand the genuine love, the kindness, the compassion, the generosity, the integrity that we have in our relationships, this can then become this testimony, the story to them is like the impact of God, that we're having a relationship with God. This is like a living testimony of how God is working in our lives. And so how do you have... So think about this. Who do you have? Who do you have around you that enables you to have these authentic relationships? Who are the people that you have around you? People that you have in your corner that will tell you how it really is. And they're there to encourage us and cheer us along. And I think in those relationships, sometimes we can think, oh, this person's trying to bring me down. We can sometimes have that mentality towards someone when they're highlighting something that they're seeing in us. And we may think, oh, they're just trying to expose me. They're just trying to bring me down. But they may not be trying to do that. They may want the best for you. They're seeing something in you. They want you to thrive. They want you to flourish in all that God has called you to be. And so they're coming in such a way that they want to help you. And so do you have people like that in your life? Do we have people like that are able to speak to us in love and in truth from a biblical perspective as well, giving us what the Bible is teaching? Do we have people like that in our lives that are able to speak to us in that way? I hope we all have people like that in our lives. People that will correct us. People that will show us things. People that will pull us up on things that we may not see because we just don't see them, right? Some of the time, most of the time, we're so blinded by the stuff that's right in front of us, right? Example, okay? I'm a husband. When my wife tells me something about me, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, that no, I'm not even. And then I hear it from, let's say, my brother JR here. He tells me it. And then I'm like, oh, okay, bro, okay, I get you. But it's exactly the same thing that your wife told you, right? Some of the times we have this lens on. Oh, they try and take me down. They don't see the best in me, right? But there are people that are closer to us that want the best for us. They want to encourage us and help us in this life. Can anyone relate to that? Anyone relate to that? Yes? There's a really loud section in the women over here. Yes. Praise the Lord. Shot, Ray. Shot. Okay. Okay, the next one. Builds trust. Okay? Builds trust. Now, trust is foundational in any relationship, right? We all know that. And when we live our godly principles in our day-to-day interactions with people, we're building trust with them, right? Trust is important for good communication to happen between people. With trust, people are more likely, once you've built that trust with each other, people are more likely to share things that they're walking through. Sometimes even sharing things that are maybe very vulnerable, you know, will put them in a place of vulnerability, right? You know you're at that place of trust when someone opens up about something that they probably wouldn't talk about it, you know, tell everyone else about. And you know, okay, I've got their trust. This can then become a doorway for people to hear and be, you know, willing to think about matters of God, matters of the Bible. That could be a doorway into it because you've built trust with them. They value your words. They value you as a person. They value the way that you are walking out your life. So, how are you at building trust in your relationships? Do people trust you? Do they open up to you about real life challenges that they may be walking through? Do they trust you enough to tell you their innermost secrets that they're hiding? Is that all right? You still here? We're still here? Okay, next one. The next one is model Jesus. Model Jesus. Our relationship can become this platform for modeling Jesus, right? Modeling Jesus' character, modeling Jesus' behavior. When we begin to live in such a way that the qualities like forgiveness, patience, humility, compassion, generosity, kindness, when we begin to mirror the character of Christ to people in our everyday life, that shows people that there can be a different way of living this life, right? That's what it's showing them. It's showing them that we can respond differently. We can behave differently. But the thing is, this is my perspective. The thing is, this is not what people are normally used to seeing. It's not normal for people to see that side of us or people. People are used to seeing people that get angry at one another, right? But people are not used to seeing people being patient and loving with one another. People are used to seeing people hurt one another. But people are not used to seeing people extend forgiveness to one another. People are used to seeing people tear each other down, pulling each other down. But people are not used to seeing people encourage and build up one another. So what are people used to seeing in you and in me? What would they classify as, he's normally like that. That's just the way he is. He's loving. He's patient. She's caring. She's humble. What are people used to seeing in you? As followers of Jesus, how are we at modeling Jesus? How are we at showing Christ-like character? How are we at showing Christ-like behavior? The second thing that Abraham took with him on his going can be found in verse 5. And it says this in verse 5, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. The second thing is resources. Resources. Abraham was a very wealthy man, right? Because in Haran, he had acquired people to work and be part of his household. So we see this because a little bit later on in Genesis 14, his nephew Lot, right? He ends up in this place called Sodom, and he's living there, and these kings come and they take over this land that Lot is in. And so when Abraham finds out that his nephew was taken, Abraham's like, nah, not my nephew. And so Abraham pursues him with 318, it says, trained men. These would be his fighting soldiers. He has his own personal army with him. 318 of these guys that have been brought up in his household. They know the art of war. They're soldiers. They're warriors. And so he takes them and they go after these kings to get his nephew back. So Abraham has resources. His resources that he has, they were there to sustain his family, his household, his livestock, during this journey from Haran to Canaan. You know, the distance from Haran to Canaan is something like 900 kilometers. over 900 kilometers. So it's like Brisbane to Sydney, not in a car, walking, bro. Walk. The resources Abraham took were not just for his benefit, but this laid the foundation for the prosperity of his descendants. These possessions became part of the legacy that would be passed down through the generations, that would contribute to the fulfillment of God's covenant. Remember, Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. And we get to partake in that today as well. So let's think about this. With the resources that we have, how can we express generosity in reaching out to those in need in our community? Think about your neighbor next door, your neighbor in your street. How may you be able to be a reflection of generosity to your neighbor? Or maybe there's a work colleague in your workplace that you want to, you know, God's laid on your heart that you want to bless them in some way. Or maybe it's a friend in your class, young people, right? A friend of yours in your class that you want to bless in some way. How would that look like? How could you take what you have and bless someone else? What practical steps can we take to make a positive impact on the lives of the people in our community, the people around us? Trusting God in the going is the challenge that each and every one of us face. We face it every day. Every day when we wake up, we have a choice to make. Whether we're going to get up today and follow God and decide that we're going to trust God today. God, you've opened my eyes today. Thank you for the breath of life that you've given me today. Today I want to trust you. No matter what I go through today, may I represent you well in today, in this moment of today. Every day we need to make that choice. Every day we need to decide if we will continue to trust God and in his plans. Okay, final thing. This animal here is the African impala, not the car. Okay, this is the African animal impala. Okay, so this is a deer-like animal that can jump up to a height of like 3 meters and cover a distance of like over 10 meters. So this animal's got some hops, right? But yet the impala can be kept in any zoo enclosure with just a 1 meter high wall. Because it isn't tall enough to see over the wall, so it won't jump if it can't see where its feet will land. Is it like that for us? Right? We ain't gonna jump unless I can see where my feet are gonna land, right? Let's just quickly review over the story of Abraham, right? Abraham's 75 years old when God calls him, right? He calls him to take a leap of faith. God's calling him, take this step of faith. Step out of the safety and security of your family, Abraham. He's old, he's childless, but as we've heard today, right, God calls him to leave his country, leave his family, and become the father of a new nation. That's the promise. God gives no details where Abraham is to go or how he's going to have a child. All he says is, go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. Step out from the enclosure, Abraham. Take a leap of faith, Abraham. And Abraham steps out. He sets out in faith. He takes his family. He takes his resources, his relationships, and he goes. He steps out of the enclosure. And soon he finds his land. The land that God had promised him. Then a little later on, he has a son. And then ultimately, a nation is birthed. You know, there have been occasions in my own life where I have felt called to to leave my comfortable life and head into something new without knowing exactly what that would look like. For me, for us, coming to Brisbane was a leap of faith. Coming to Brisbane, yeah. You can ask him, why are you holding a shoe, bro? Right? Nah. You know, going for a job that I didn't think I was qualified for was me stepping out of the enclosure. Trusting God that he would bless us with kids, even after 5 years of waiting and through a miscarriage, was us continuing to trust in God. For me, going into seminary is me trusting God. Seriously, I don't like school. I was like an average student in college, man. And then trying to do seminary now, it's like, by the grace of God. That's the only way, the grace of God. So are we trusting? Are we going to trust God in our going? In our going to those places. In our going to those tasks that God is calling us to.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.